wave of attacks has rocked Afghanistan, including the capital, Kabul. The Taliban has claimed responsibility for the attacks, an indication that it's gaining ground, although the official announcement of the death of its leader, Mullah Omar, has affected the unity of the group. But Afghan President Ashraf Ghani has blamed Pakistan for the attacks. In this edition of the debate, we'll discuss the Afghanistan-Pakistan friction, the ISIL presence in that country, and whether the peace talks can be salvaged after the wave of violence.
On Monday, Taliban militants carried out yet another attack on Kabul. This time, the militants targeted Kabul International Airport, killing several people. A huge car bomb rocked the airport's main gate when people were stepping inside to take their flights. On Thursday and Friday, a wave of deadly bombings also left dozens of people dead in Kabul. All the attacks were blamed on the Taliban. The militants have stepped up their insurgency following the death of the group's longtime leader Mullah Omar and the nomination of Mullah Ahmed Mansour as his successor. The attacks have sparked anger among Afghan officials, with President Ashraf Ghani slamming Pakistan over a wave of bloody attacks in Kabul.
The reason we talk to Pakistani authorities is that they have given sanctuaries to the Taliban. Their bases are in their country. The Taliban militants launched their activities from Pakistan. As a government, we have to put forward these issues to Pakistan.
Islamabad has in the past denied supporting the Taliban. But what is Pakistan's policy when it comes to Afghanistan?
Pakistan is deeply worried about the growing influence of India in Afghanistan. It does not want Afghanistan to get very close to its enemy. So it's supporting extremist groups to achieve its political goals in this region. It's also the issue of Durand Line that has prompted Pakistan to keep its proxies alive in Afghanistan.
Pakistan blames instead Afghanistan for supporting terrorists to strike the major towns of Pakistan. So both sides are busy in blame game. The appointment of Mullah Ahmed Mansour in Pakistan as the new leader of the Taliban has, however, made the position of Kabul stronger. President Ghani has warned Islamabad against the latest attacks of Mullah Mansour. But analysts say it's too late.
The Afghan government has often failed to have a good diplomacy when it comes to dealing with Pakistan. President Ghani has announced today that bombings in Afghanistan would strain the relations between Kabul and Islamabad, while he could send this message to them a long time ago.
These are all the scenes of the latest strikes of the Taliban under the leadership of Ahmed Mansour. He continues to carry out such deadly operations to inspire his field commanders and to force Kabul to accept his terms and conditions in would-be negotiations. President Ghani does not sound opposed to talking to him, but he is looking for the full backing of Islamabad. Both Pakistan and Afghanistan are two countries with many things in common. They had long but also very complex relations, and it has been often growing insurgency that has strained their ties. Kabul and Islamabad have repeatedly blamed each other for not doing enough in the fight against militancy. Their relations have improved very much after President Ghani has taken office, but the latest bombings in Kabul and the Taliban's ability to use Pakistan as a safe haven have made it very difficult for the Afghan government to trust Pakistan. Faiz Khurshid, Press TV, Kabul.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, former American intelligence linguist Scott Bricker, joins us from Orlando. We have journalist and political analyst Shahid Qureshi, who joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. Shahid Qureshi, let me first start with you and ask you a general question as to why Afghanistan is experiencing such a wave of violence that appears much more in the past days than before.
Well, I think it's the Taliban who are asserting this, that they are still in power. They can still strike in Afghanistan anywhere they like, especially in capital. So the departure of Mullah Omar and changing of the command does not make any difference to them. And what Mr. Ashraf Ghani needs to understand is when he blames Pakistan for his internal problems is that almost about 50,000 Afghanis cross Pakistan-Afghan border every day. Now, Pakistan has about 1,000 checkposts on its border. And I don't know, about maybe 100 the Afghanis have. And if he thinks that the Talibans are getting training in Pakistan, then he should give the postcode and the address. Because we have about 2.5 million Afghan refugees living in Pakistan for the last 35 years. So if he knows exactly where are those safe havens or where are those training camps, he should There's no problem him informing the authorities or even bringing it to the media. Blaming without any evidence is not going to help in this kind of. I know Mr. Ghani is under a lot of pressure from the Indian lobby, which was operating in Afghanistan freely for some time. But the reality is that Afghanistan's rulers needs to understand that they need to look internally now. When Taliban left before 2001, the poppy production in Afghanistan was zero. Now the poppy production has gone up to 1,400%. And that drug money is being used in terrorist financing, which Mr. Ashraf Ghani is having problems with. Now, the other issue is the who is ruling in the administration, who is ruling in the government's policies. Those needs to be balanced out. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have all the people who are in the ruling party who are from a minority, then you will have a problem. But okay. What needs to happen is that there needs to be a balance between the Pashtuns, the Tajik, the Uzbeks, whoever are within the Afghan culture and Afghan fiber of society. There needs to be a balance on it. Now, all the people have their own interests, business interests with India, but they have, when they eat some wheat or eat some rice or for some oil or cooking, they make sure they remember that this is coming from their neighboring brother country, Pakistan. When they are feeding them, they are supporting them, they are sheltering their people for the last 35 years. And in the end, if they are getting a blame for this, I think this is a very, very ungrateful thing to say.
Okay.
And I think Mr. Ghani should be very careful when he says these kind of statements.
Very well. You covered a number of topics related to this, which we'd like to discuss many of them. We really appreciate that. So, Scott Rickard, let's just get to what our guest there said about Afghanistan's President Ashraf Ghani, in which I'm going to quote him, accusing Pakistan of sending messages of war and harboring terrorist training camps, which our guest, Shahid Qureshi, said that he shouldn't blame the internal problems of Afghanistan on Pakistan. Your reaction to that statement?
Well, this goes back, as he knows, Mr. Qureshi knows, this goes back into the 70s. When Pakistan was very active with training mujahideen, even Muhammad Karzai was alongside of that at one point. And there were some altercations at that time, even with the emerging Taliban as it came out. Now, the Taliban has been traditionally supported by even the ISI at some points in and out of different tribes. It becomes very tribal when you talk about the individuals that are involved in the Pakistani government, as well as the Pakistani intelligence. You know, there's a lot of divisions within Pakistan where some people are more favorable to India and some people are more negative against India because of their occupation of Kashmir. So there has been, you know, a long-standing complex issue in the region. And when you look at the kinds of accusations that President Ghani's making, you know, some of the accusations are absolutely true because of the aspect that if you look at where Ghani comes from, you know, this is a gentleman who was trained in Beirut and trained in Columbia University. He's very close with the West. He started the Institute for the State Effectiveness with Claire Lockhart. So he's very tied with the World Bank. And this is an individual that would be very in opposition to the Taliban. And the Taliban have a lot of allies, both in Afghanistan and in Pakistan. And certainly, there's no shortage of help coming out of Pakistan on the side of supporting that type of infrastructure, as well as Saudi Arabia. Because when you look at the populations of these countries, you know, the population of Afghanistan and the population of Pakistan, the majority, 80 to 90%, are Sunni-based Muslims. And so then you've got the outside influence of the Sunni-based influences that are supporting organizations putting down the minority Shiite in those countries. There's only about 10% Shiite in Afghanistan and only about 20% Shiite in Pakistan. So it's a very complex environment. There are a lot of moving parts, and the fact that Pakistan is potentially arming and influencing Taliban in Afghanistan, it's very likely that that is going on.
Well, Shahid Qureshi, please walk us through what has transpired here, because it appeared that you had these peace talks that were going on. Pakistan was behind it as a mediator. You had this news of Mullah Omar's death, which appeared to break off these talks or have an effect on it negatively, then we see this violence that occurs. I mean, that's what appears on the surface. What exactly happened?
Well, I think the leak of the death of Mullah Omar was very pro-Indian media. Broke that story in Kabul, and they were hoping the Taliban will go into pieces, but that didn't happen. The attacks which took place recently are a message from the Taliban to Mr. Ghani and the other ruling and the guests, the uninvited guests who have come into Afghanistan for the last 12 years. And I'll say to my colleague in US that there was a time when President Reagan called the Taliban he compared them to the founding fathers of the United States. So you don't leave your friend in lurch. And the problem with these US policy is that US has always leave his friends in the problems. Pakistan fought against the Soviets, and that was the CIA sponsored, the US sponsored, the West sponsored war. Pakistan is a victim of the international games and international players. And when the analysts sit there, they completely ignore the fact that why we are in this position in the first place. The reason we are here is that the Soviet invasion, which was again the proxy, the CIA proxy, fought against the Soviets, obviously, which ended up the breakup of the Berlin Wall. Then the Osama bin Laden, who was the US's best friend, and the war against terror started in 2001. Now, what has it got to do with Pakistan? This is a fundamental question you should be asking, that this country has been torn apart by the international policy and its so-called international friends, basically, who have proven to be a monster and an abusive relationship. When this friend, who has got the highest number of the refugees in the world, according to the United Nations High Commissioner of Refugees. Now, why we are having all these refugees in from Syria, from Afghanistan, from Iraq, to all these countries? We need to understand that what is going on around us. And instead, you pick up an incident and you start snowballing that and blaming the people who are actually your supporter, who are party to all this war and terror, who are your partner in war and terror. And then when you are fighting a war, you do not blame your partners, you do not blame your friends. And this is what the peace talks which was happening between Taliban and the current government was welcomed by the United States, was welcomed by the European Union and the Western countries. And what needs to understood is that maybe today or tomorrow the Taliban are going to be there, that they are a reality. So let's be to live with them. Let's agree to be with them. With regards to the Shia or Sunni element, Shia and Sunnis have been living there for thousands of years. They never had these sectarian issues in, especially in Pakistan. The bond between the Shias and Sunnis is very strong. Their intermarriages, their roles in the government. There's no minority or there's no issue around which they were trying to show that there's a divide between the Shias and the Sunnis. That is not been the case, sir.
Well, Scott Rickard, our guest there, obviously is portraying an image where Pakistan does no wrong. And I'm going to try to figure out why he thinks that. Maybe I have some facts that may prove otherwise. Okay. Now, one of them may be this, and I'm looking at the gathering that took place that picked the leader, the new leader for the Taliban. And it is reported, Scott Rickard, that in this gathering, the new Taliban leaders are viewed to be close to Islamabad relative to others within the group. So is there really a wedge that this has created within the Taliban as to understand the unity of the group to be in question at this point?
No, I don't think so. I mean, think when you talk about the Taliban, once again, you're talking about multiple factions and individuals. And I don't agree. I think the other guest, Mr. Qureshi, hits it right on the head. You know, these types of divides don't exist within Pakistan or within Afghanistan, other than the factions and the tribes that moved away from the Afghans during the Soviet wars because they were under persecution by the majority Sunni at the time. But at the same time, there are very little instigations that are religious-based in those two countries. They do actually get along quite well. It's the outside influence, and that's where I say Mr. Qureshi hits it on the head. The outside influences on the Taliban, as well as on the governments and the international affairs and the tribal warfare going on between Afghani and Pakistani types of altercations. These things have been heavily influenced by the West. They're heavily influenced by individuals that are funding and financing not only the government elections and funding and financing government warfare and government defense projects. These are long-standing relationships that have gone back into British Empire influences as well as American influences in the region. And now you've got, obviously individuals out of Saudi Arabia that have gotten involved over the last 20 to 30 years. So it's not something, as I said earlier, it's a very complex issue where you're looking at, obviously, Pakistan is definitely doing many things wrong, and certainly Afghanistan is doing many things wrong. So there's so many moving parts in this region because of the actual complexities of the relationships, and as well as Mr. Qureshi brought up, in the drug warfare and the drug cultivation there. The drug cultivation there is very well backed by the West. It's over a $600 billion industry. Afghanistan is producing 80% of the opiates, heroin-based products that are being distributed around the world. And the United States are consuming 60% of that. So certainly the United States is in cooperation with any government and puppets that they put in place in Afghanistan. And the feuding and the actual chaos that ensues amongst all that also supports the military-industrial complex so that we are able to continue that perpetual warfare that goes on between not only Afghanistan and Pakistan, but elsewhere in the region. So, right. There's absolutely blame to spread across many of the different types of roles that are being played in that region.
Well, Sheikh Qureshi, I'd like to find out from you why it is then that there's these allegations that there's plenty of fact out there showing that Pakistan actually supports terrorism and terrorist groups. You seem to think, Sheikh Qureshi, about the fact that Afghanistan refugees that Pakistan hosts maybe contributes to this. If you can explain that to us and also explain why Saudi Arabia, which I'm sure is not out of the kindness of their heart, gave $1.5 billion to Pakistan in November. What do you think that was all about?
Well, I will take it one step at a time, basically. Talibans are not aliens to the United States or the West or to Pakistan. Talibans were created by a secular government at the time when Benazir Bhutto was in rule. And she said to me, actually, in London, she said, we made a mistake by supporting Taliban in the early 90s. So let's be very honest about the creation of Taliban and nurturing and all that. Now, it's really not fair that on the one hand, you were calling them as the founding fathers of the United States, you're comparing them with them, you're inviting them to the White House, and next moment you're going and bombing and killing them. Same thing happened to Mr. Bin Laden. He was a best friend, he was an ally, and the next moment he was killed by his own friends. And this is what brings to me to a quote from the Henry Kissinger when he says that it's irrelevant if the US punishes his enemies or not, but it definitely punishes his friends. And this has been happening in Iraq, in Pakistan, in other countries. Now, coming to Mr. Ghani's current statement, I think he's under a lot of pressure from the people from the Northern Alliance and Indian influenced in the region. And he's kind of maybe made up this statement to satisfy them. I'm not debating the credentials of Mr. Ghani, how broad-minded he having a Christian wife at home and having a very broader spectrum view about the modern Afghanistan. Afghanistan was a very modern country before the invasion of the Soviets in early 70s. So it's not that the Afghans were not a modern society before. They were a modern society. They were very educated society. Now, what needs to happen is this blame game must stop. Pakistan has lost about 50,000 civilians in the last 10 years because as a result of this so-called war on terror, which my colleague has clearly mentioned, it is a project of the military military complexes all over the world who are fueling this war, creating small enemies, making them big, inflating them, and then going and attacking them. Maybe they need to consider going into something else. Maybe some investment needs to happen, maybe in somewhere else. If I'm looking for a hot target in today's world, I will go to the five tax-free safe havens where all the loot money has been hidden. Those are the Talibans are not a threat to the United States. Never, they never been and they never are. They were friends of the United States and they still are. They have having an office in Qatar, which means that they are in negotiating with the U.S. and with the other parties. Which if Pakistan is assisting Afghanistan to have a debate and negotiating with these people mm-hmm. who are a reality, Pakistan needs to be supported, not to be blamed for something which Pakistan has nothing to do with, but a victim of all this war and all this terrorism.
Very well. Seems like we're fresh out of time for this edition of the debate. I'd like to thank our guest, former American intelligence linguist Scott Rickard, with his statements from Orlando. And we had Shahid Qureshi, journalist and political analyst, with his statements from London. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. Fumiko Vitawe and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, is goodbye.